Well, an increase in core social welfare rates is expected to form part of Budget 2022, which will be announced next month. Some reports suggest that the increases could be in the order of 3 to 5 euro a week. Well, we'll be speaking shortly to Public Expenditure Minister Michael McGrath about what the budget will try to achieve as we emerge from the COVID-19 pandemic. But first, I asked Celine Clark, Head of Advocacy at Age Action Ireland, who's been campaigning for an increase in the old age pension, if a rise of 3 to 5 euro a week would be sufficient.
The short answer is no. We are asking for a 15 euro increase on the pension, building towards the benchmark of 34% of average earnings. And this benchmark was a recommendation of the government's report on pension reform in 2018, and it's also a commitment of the government in 2020 in the social inclusion strategy. But it's important that we remember that the pension of 2,4,8,30 at the rate that it was in January 2019 now has the purchasing power of 2,3,8,06. In other words, it's an effective cut of over 10 euro in the purchasing power of the state pension. And how that is being experienced by people now means that 1 in 10 older people is at risk of poverty and 1 in 9 suffers from material deprivation. There's nearly 90,000 people who can't afford to put a protein-rich meal on the table every second day. So there are older people over the age of 65 who rely on the state pension and other social welfare transfers, and they still can't put meat or fish on the table every second day. We also know that nearly 30,000 people go without home heating at times. So there is a group of people that are reliant on the state pension who are really struggling, and they are falling behind. And the government has committed to a benchmark. It recognises that a benchmark is needed. And the reason why we want the benchmark and additional measures as well in the form of a triple lock is because what we want to do is depoliticise the state pension.
And you say that the pension needs to be depoliticised in Ireland to give certainty to retirees. Explain.
We want to see that the pension is benchmarked at 34% and triple locked, meaning it's triple lock means 2.5% of inflation or the average earnings, whichever increase is greater. So we think that doing that would depoliticise the state pension, meaning that people have certainty, income certainty and security when they're going into retirement. Right now, year on year, people who rely on the state pension have no idea what their income is going to be until October.
So is there a growing fear of retirement?
There's a real great fear in retirement about what age you will qualify to be retired, but also what your income is going to be when you retire. And if you're in your 50s now, you're in a really difficult spot wondering what you're going to retire into and when you're going to be able to retire. But you're also possibly renting because we know that more people are renting, less people can afford their own homes. We also know that family life has changed. People are separated, people are divorced, they're running two households. And we absolutely should have reform of our pension system. No one's saying that we shouldn't, but it needs to be based on the lived experience of people. It has to reflect an evidence base, a cost of aging and the situation of older people now, and recognising that there are a group of people who have fallen behind over the last two successive budgets that haven't seen an increase in their spending power, and yet there's an increase in the cost of living, whether it's home insurance, car insurance, okay, or been able to buy fuel.
And that was Celine Clark of Age Action Ireland speaking to me there a while ago. We're joined in our Cork studio by Public Expenditure Minister Michael McGrath. You're welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon, Carl.
Now, I know you're not going to tell us what's in the budget several weeks out from
Indeed.
It. But as we emerge from COVID-19, what will the government be trying to achieve?
Thanks, Carl. Yeah, we will have a number of key objectives really in framing Budget 2022, and among those will be the need to have a period now where our public services can resume to function in as normal a way as possible after what has been a really difficult 18 months for our country, and so many people have had difficulty in accessing certain services, particularly in healthcare, and we've seen increases in waiting lists. So obviously that will be a priority for government to hold whole issue of maintaining good public services through 2022 and addressing many of the issues that arose over the course of the pandemic. Of course, securing economic recovery. We are now seeing a strong rebound in the Irish economy, and we need to see that transition into a sustainable recovery, because when I look at all of the challenges that I have to try to manage on the expenditure side of the budget, in childcare, in health, in education, in housing, in transport, on capital spending, I'm in a position to meet many of those needs if we have a strong economy that is delivering the type of revenues that we need to meet the legitimate expectations that people have. And in addition to all of that, of course, we have to enter into a period where we commence the repairing of the public finances. We had, understandably, a very large deficit last year. We will have a very large budget deficit this year, and we need to start reducing it. And we do that. We do that by, over time, carefully and gradually tapering the pandemic-related emergency expenditures and managing our core expenditure in a sustainable and responsible way. And we've set out the overall framework within which we will make those decisions. But we are now at the point in the next 3 weeks where the specific decisions have to be made.
Okay, now we will get back to some of those. It's clear, though, and even listening to Celine Clark there from Age Action Ireland, that rising cost of living is a real issue at this particular time, and especially for those who are on fixed welfare payments. How is the government planning to respond to inflation?
I accept absolutely that the rising cost of living at the moment, particularly in some areas of expenditure, fuel costs and so on, is a real issue for many pensioners, but also many people of working age.
So can we take it that there will be an increase in the core welfare rates, as has been reported?
Well, as you indicated at the start, Carol, I can't get into specific decisions. What we did last year was brought forward a package of very targeted measures that really were designed to support the most vulnerable people, tackle poverty through improvements in qualified child payments, the living alone allowance, the fuel allowance, improving the working family payment, care support grant, just to name a few of the examples of what we managed to do in really difficult times in the social welfare budget last year. We are conscious and we acknowledge that in the last two budgets, there has not been an increase in core social welfare weekly rates. And we will consider that issue in the next number of weeks. I am in discussions, of course, with the Minister for Social Protection, Heather Humphreys, in relation to what her priorities are. But we do recognise that people are facing rising costs. But what I have to do is to balance that reality against the reality of limited resources, where I have in the region of €1 billion to make new budget day decisions across all of the areas that I mentioned earlier on.
So increases could be as low as €3 to €5, as has been reported by RTE's Micheál Lehane.
I can't get into specifics in relation to the budget at this point, because the truth is that the decisions have not yet been made.
Okay, well, can I just turn to climate change then? We all know that every budget at this point has to take account of climate change, and we know that there is going to be a carbon tax increase because that's already built in. How much will that increase be, can we say?
So there will be an increase in the carbon tax of a similar order to last year. This has been legislated for now in the legislation passed by the Oireachtas. And what we will do, as what we have done in previous years, is we will compensate for the impact of that by improving the measures within social protection, particularly in the area of fuel poverty. There will be targeted measures there to address the impact of changes in the carbon tax, and also the revenues from the carbon tax go towards sustainable farming in the form of agri-environmental schemes, and also towards the meeting the cost of retrofitting homes. So we've given the commitment that carbon tax receipts that we collect as a government are not about balancing the books. They are about trying to bring about changes in behaviour, and we will encourage and nurture those changes through the decisions that we make, and we will also seek to cushion the impact on people by way of putting in place the supports that are needed, particularly to deal with fuel poverty. And we're very conscious at the moment that we are in an environment where fuel costs have risen very substantially, and that is an issue that the government will be taking into account.
Okay, so that will be part of the budget. Can I just ask you, tomorrow we're going to see people starting to return to offices, but about 20% will continue to work from home. Can they expect to see any kind of measures or tax relief this year for them?
As you have acknowledged, we have a very significant day tomorrow with the further easing of COVID restrictions, and that's thanks to the fantastic vaccination programme. And
but can they look ahead to any kind of relief in the budget for working from home? It has been mentioned, it has been flagged. Will it be this year or future years?
And it has been examined specifically in one of the papers published by the Tax Strategy Group, and that's published on the Department of Finance website. And they set out in that area, as they do in a whole host of other areas, options that government can consider in the context of Budget Day. Of course, okay, it should be said that already there is provision for people to claim tax relief on certain expenses that they incur in the course of doing their work from home. But government will consider whether or not there is merit in introducing any specific additional tax relief for people engaged in remote working. We'll consider that in the same way that we'll consider a number of other supports in this space.
Okay, I want to turn to President Higgins' decision not to attend that service marking the partition and the creation of Northern Ireland. There are reports today that Fianna Fáil is divided on sending a minister to Armagh next month. Where do you stand on this?
Well, first of all, Carla, I want to say that I absolutely respect the judgment that has been exercised by President Higgins, as is his prerogative in respect of the constitutional role that he plays. And I don't think anybody should question his track record in reaching out to all sides and all traditions. In particular, when you look at his Machtn of 100 series, an initiative of the President involving a series of seminars to recognise the different events that we are now commemorating, which occurred 100 years ago. What we will do as a government is we will come to a collective view if and when an invitation is extended to us. That has not happened to date. And I think it's important that we try to tone down the debate here and avoid division and acrimony. We don't want to see a situation where tensions are escalated. The government will consider this in a calm and mature way if and when an invitation is extended to us.
But hasn't it been a terrible mess? I mean, if we cannot agree over attending a prayer service, how can we work towards a shared future? And we heard the Archbishop saying there that they were just trying to bring people together in a very difficult and sensitive space.
Yeah, and I listened very carefully there to the church leaders in their description of the event, and you know, I haven't been privy to the contact that has taken place in recent weeks and months in relation to the organisation of this event. But I think we're at a very sensitive juncture in our history. This was always going to be a very challenging series of commemorations, in particular around partition and the establishment of Northern Ireland, which is such a sensitive issue for so many of us on this island.
So is the government worried that efforts to share this island have been set back?
No, I think that, you know, the way that we have acted as a government in, for example, the establishment by the Taoiseach of the Shared Island Unit, where the emphasis has been on reaching out, it has been on dialogue, on having mutual cooperation in areas such as further and higher education and research, where we have common interest and working together. And I think we do have to reach out and try to understand each other's perspective. And we will get through this. And I don't think we should make too much of one particular church event in relation to a commemoration. It is significant, and as I said, the government will consider any invitation that comes in, but we really do have to look to the future and building a shared future on this island, which is based on trust and mutual respect. And I think that's ultimately where we have to move to.
Public Expenditure Minister Michael McGrath, thank you very much for joining us from our Cork studio.